Luke's Gospel and the chapter 22, please. Luke's Gospel 22, and we're going to break in at the verse 54 of the chapter. Lord Jesus, just having been arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane, verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed afar off. When they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." He denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him, and said, "Thou art also of them." Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, another after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. Last time that we were in this study, we looked at Judas coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he came out of that city with that great band of soldiers and of the servants of the high priest. And they came with their staves and their torches to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Judas walked in, and he came, walked into that garden. He came up right up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him. He kissed the door of heaven, yet he went to hell. After Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus, after he had signaled and gave that signal to each of the ones, and as they laid their hands upon the Lord and they took him back into the city, they brought him to the house or to the palace of Caiaphas. And there Christ would be taken at that late hour of the night. Over the course of less than 12 hours, the Lord Jesus Christ would endure 6 trials. 3 by the religious authorities and 3 by the state. He first was taken to Annas. And then from Annas, he was taken to Annas' son-in-law, Caiaphas, who was the high priest. From Caiaphas, he was taken before all of the Sanhedrin. Then first thing in the morning, he was taken to Pilate, from Pilate to Herod, and then back to Pilate. 6 trials. In less than 12 hours. No sleep, no rest. Just attack after attack after attack. But before we get to the trials, I want us to look at another of the disciples. We've looked over a number of weeks. We spent 2 weeks altogether looking at Judas. But this morning I want us to look at Peter. You know, we can succinctly and so simply put it, Peter denied the Lord. We read it this morning of how he was in that palace grounds, how he was in that courtyard, as it were, of Caiaphas, and how he was asked time and time again, "You're one of the Lord's." The answer came back, "No." You read all of the gospel accounts, it got to the point where he was swearing, he was blaspheming, he was saying anything and everything to try and discredit his association with Christ. He was doing all that he could just to get away You see, there's so much more to this account than just that simple statement that he denied the Lord. So many lessons to be learned. There's so much application for both the saint and the sinner alike. This morning, as I've said already after the psalm reading, I want you to examine yourself before God today. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I simply want you, in the light of Scripture, to put the book, the Scriptures, up as a mirror before you. And I want you to look at yourself in that mirror. And I want you to ask and answer that question: where do I stand before God? Four things I want you to see over the next 2 weeks. I'm only going to get the first one done this morning. I want you to see the clues that Peter would fall. The clues that Peter would fall. Turn back to the verse 33 of the chapter. Peter speaking to the Lord, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. You know, so often whenever a crime is committed, so often whenever something happens out of the ordinary, there is an investigation into it. The detectives, the investigators will come and they will scan an area for clues. They will come to a crime scene and they will look around to see what is the telltale signs of what has happened. I believe as you come to the Scriptures, the clues are here. Peter is going to fall. The clues are there for all of us to see, to read, to acknowledge. Peter is on the downward slope. He's heading to denial. He's heading to a place where he's far from God. Verse 33, you have the first clue. The boasting and the pride in himself. Though Peter's head is so filled. You remember, and we've discussed it before, of how as they left the Lord's Supper, as they left that upper chamber, the verse 24, there was strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. All of the disciples are talking, who's the better one? I'm better than you are. I'm higher up than you are. I'm more spiritual than you are. And no doubt Peter was in the midst of the conversation, just like the rest of them. And he's blowing his own trumpet. I'm in the hierarchy. I've been to Jairus' house. I've been to the Mount Transfiguration. I've saw the Lord in his glory. I'm better than you. Yes, it's true. Peter was one of the front runners in the group. He was, as it were, in the top three. He saw more of the Lord along with John and James. Indeed, you add up all of the verses in the New Testament Scriptures and you add them up and you put them against Peter and John, you will find there is more to do with Peter than there is to do with John, the theologian. John would write more books in the New Testament than Peter would. John, you have John's Gospel, you have 1st, you have 2nd, you have 3rd John. Peter, you have only 1st and 2nd Peter. And some will try and put his name to the book of Mark, that he dictated the book of Mark. At most, 3. John had 4. But yet there's more verses in the New Testament to Peter than there is to John. And yet Peter is the one who's full of himself. Christ warns him. Verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, he may sift you as wheat. I think it's interesting that the Lord had to say his name twice. It's as if the Lord's coming to him and he has to snap him out of his little bubble. He has to impress upon him, Simon, Simon, it's so important what's happening here. The devil wants you, Simon. He wants you. He wants to wreck you. The Lord doesn't say to all of the disciples, he doesn't say, men, The devil wants you all. He says, Simon, Simon. The Lord, the devil wants you. And what does Simon say? He says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. Lord, I'll fight for you. I'll go to prison for you. Lord, I'll die for you. The Lord says to him, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And you can just imagine as the Lord is saying that to Peter, Peter, I believe Peter, such is that fullness and the boasting of himself. He's like, no, I'll fight for you. I'll die for you. Lord, I am strong. I'm ready. I've got a sword in my hand. I'll do what needs to be done. I believe in myself, Lord. I believe in my strengths. Lord, yes, I'm from a fishing background, but Lord, I'll take my stand for you, no problem. I'll defend the faith. I'll stand. All of these other guys, they can all run if they want. Lord, I'll never leave you. I believe in myself. You know, Psalm 34, the verse 2, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. But no, that's not Peter's standing. Standing is, Lord, I'm ready. My boast is in myself. Verse 33, he boasted and had pride in himself. The verse 45, another clue that he's falling. In verse 45, he's sleeping instead of praying. When he rose up from prayer, speaking of the Lord Jesus, was come to his disciples, he found him sleeping for sorrow. The other Gospels will state that whenever the Lord returns, he immediately goes to Peter. And it is to Peter that he says, Simon Peter, sleepest thou? Could you not watch just 1 hour? Here was Peter, the command was given by the Lord, watch and pray. Keep your eyes open. Pray. Three times Christ prayed. Three times Peter slept. No longer did he see the value of prayer. Another clue, the verse 50. He's smiting instead of protecting. One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. John's Gospel, the chapter 18, the verse 10, will tell you that that's Peter. Peter takes the sword out. Remember, they brought two swords with them to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's Peter that takes one of those swords. He takes it out and he lashes out and he takes off Malchus' ear. The Lord reaches forth. The ears are restored. Just in passing, let me highlight, that was the last miracle that the Lord ever done, this side of crucifixion. And you think of all of the miracles that Jesus Christ had done over his 3-year ministry, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, you think of raising 3 from the dead, you think of the lame, the lepers, the blind, and all of those glorious, those wonderful miracles, the last miracle, it's not to anyone great, it's to a simple servant. And he puts forth the hand, and the ears are restored. Do you see the mercy in Christ in doing that? There's two acts of mercy in that one action of Peter's. He lashed out, he cut off the ear. 1 inch inward. Malchus is dead. Malchus is dead, then Peter's dead. Because the soldiers immediately would have drove the swords and the spears and the staves through Peter. and they would have killed him there and then. The mercy in the Lord in guiding that sword, that it didn't hit there, but it hit there. Second mercy of the Lord, he restored the ear immediately. For if the ear was not restored, then Peter was dead. They would have taken him immediately and killed him for the act of aggression against the servants of the high priest. But the Lord immediately restored the ear, and therefore all of that crime completely covered by the Lord, and everything back to normal. The mercy of the Lord, even in the aggression of Peter, that if the Lord hadn't have done it, then Peter's life would have been taken. And you think of those times, even in the Christian lives, whenever we lash out and we aren't as we should be, and we do things in the spur of the moment, and you can look and you can see the mercy of the Lord. And if the Lord hadn't have intervened in our lives, if the Lord hadn't have intervened in our actions, what the consequences would have been. But the Lord, just as he is merciful to Peter, he's merciful to us. Peter, such is the state of his heart, such is the state of his mind at that time, such is the acts of aggression, he's smiting out wildly. He just lashes out with the sword. See, he's forgot the Lord's word. Matthew 10:16, be ye therefore wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. Peter was not wise. He was an idiot. Peter was not harmless. He was an aggressor. Peter thought he was a big man. Lord, I'll defend you, Lord. I'll be the one to stand. I'll be the defender of the faith. I'll be the defender of the Lord Jesus. Anyone comes for you, Lord, I'll take them. Yet the Lord has to put the hand out. Fix a year. In the verse 54, another clue. Peter's walk standoffish instead of personal. Look at the verse, the last line in verse 54. Peter followed afar off. You know how true it is that our actions are ruled and guided by our heads and by our hearts. Whatever we do in this life, all of our actions, because of either the heart or the head. Wherever we go, it's because either the head's telling us to go there or the heart's telling us to go there. Whatever we get involved in, it's either because of the head or because of the heart or because of both. Peter's key is both his head and his heart's far from God. No desire for that close and intimate fellowship and protection. It's found only in Christ. That burning desire and zeal. I know there'd been wonderful times over those 3 years whenever Peter was greatly used. Just like the other 70, Peter was sent out. He was able to do works for the Lord. He was able to accomplish great things for the Lord, but now, such is the state of his heart, he is so far from the Lord that he has no desire to be any closer. Burning desire and zeal is so dampened down that he didn't even want to be in the presence of Christ. His feelings, his thoughts of self, his heart's condition, he's so far removed. And you can imagine that great crowd, a great gathering of people. There's the Lord at the front, and maybe his arms behind his back, and soldiers all around him, and they're making their way back into Jerusalem, and they're making their way to the house of Caiaphas, and Peter is so far behind. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be associated with Christ. He There's no desire to be with him personally, to be associated with him spiritually. One other clue. Verse 55. Peter sits down in the world. Verse 55, it tells us, when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Who was he actually sitting with? He is sitting down with the very men that arrested Christ. Those men, that crowd, had brought the Lord Jesus in. They had handed him into the very presence of Annas, into that room where Annas was there. And they then came out and they stayed in the courtyard. They lit a fire and they sat down. The very ones, the aggressors, those that were against the Lord, those that had no time for the Lord, those that wanted rid of him, Peter came and sat down with them. John 18 to verse 16, it gives us that extra detail. See, Peter and John both followed the Lord. Never the Lord was arrested, both Peter and John followed after the Lord. John went that bit closer. You understand this, and we'll be looking at this next week, the layout of Caiaphas' palace and how it all worked. Whenever the crowd went in, the gate was opened, and all of the crowd of men took the Lord Jesus Christ in. When the last one was in, the gate was shut. John was close enough to get in before the gate was shut. Peter was so far removed that when he came, the gate was closed and he was stuck outside. But it tells us in John's Gospel that John came and got Peter and brought him in. You see, John was known of Caiaphas. John was recognized in that place, therefore John could get in, and John then could come and ask for the gate to be opened again to get Peter in. Let me just say, in passing, Christian, there's a lesson to be learnt here. You see, John was able to be around those Jews, those guards, to be around the high priest without it affecting him. And he came and he got Peter and he brought Peter in. But all it caused was Peter to fall further. See, every child of God is different. There are some things, temptations, which one Christian can stand against, which another Christian will not be able to stand against. Depending on the history of the person, depending on their lives, even before they were saved, there are certain temptations which are too strong for one Christian, which are easy enough to defend as another Christian. John could go into that palace place. He could go in around that crowd without having that fear of falling into sin. Peter came in and Peter immediately fell. Romans 14 to verse 13, no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. See, unknowingly to John, he had brought Peter into the place where he would fail the Lord and deny him. He thought he was doing good. He thought he was bringing Peter in. But yet it caused Peter to fall. Peter comes in. He sits down. He's comfortable in the company. He's not standing agitated, jumping from one foot to the other, trying to get away or hiding away in the shadows. He comes into the world. He sits down in it. Happy, content. not looking over his shoulder, not worried about the company he's in. Not at that point. He's at ease in the world. It was a cold night. Cold to stand outside a gate. Peter comes in and the world offers him, "Come, we'll warm you. You stand for the Lord, oh, you'll be cold. You'll have that physical cold." The world says, "No, come, there's a fire. We'll warm you. We'll take care of you." Peter sits down. See, Peter was more concerned about his physical coldness than his spiritual coldness. That's all the clues. Now, Peter was in trouble. Let me ask you, child of God, do you see yourself in any of them? Is it possible that you've started looking to yourself, believing in yourself, believing that you're mentally, physically, spiritually strong enough to stand on your own? Believing that you don't need the power and the protection of the Lord like you once did. You're now a mature enough Christian. I can take that stand. I can defend the faith. I can do it all. What about your prayer life? Your private prayer life? Do you spend the same time in prayer that you used to? You spend that time alone with the Lord? What about your public prayer life? You still found in that room like you used to be? Is your attendance, your desire to be up in that room every single Wednesday night? The Lord's given that command, watch and pray, pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And yet today, how many are sleeping? You start getting sloppy. It's okay to miss a week or two. Oh, we'll come back. Don't worry, I'll be back again. Don't worry. Just taking a couple of weeks off. Peter didn't go straight from following Christ straight to denial. There's steps. John Blanchard, he said, backsliding never begins with a loud bang. It begins quietly, slowly, subtly. It's just one wee change, and then another wee change, and then another wee change. Before you know it, you're so far down the road. Maybe like Peter, you're now comfortable in the world. You enjoy the warmth of the world rather than the warmth of the Spirit within your heart. You'd rather be in the pleasures and in the worldly company than in the Christian company. You'd rather say, "No, I'm enjoying the world. It's so good at the minute, my friends and all. I'm having such a wonderful time." The world is more appealing. Thomas Guthrie, he said, "If you find yourself loving any other pleasure more than your prayers, any other book more than the Bible, any house better than the house of the Lord, any table better than the Lord's table, any persons better than Christ, or any indulgence better than the hope of heaven, be alarmed." Where's your love and affection today? Is it on Christ? Is it on what Christ has done for you? Do you love him? Is that love within your heart, child of God, burning today? You love the Lord because he first loved me. You burning with joy in the house of the Lord today. I'm here rejoicing, worshiping God. The first day of the week, the day my Savior rose from the dead. He died for my sins. He rose from my justification. And I'm here to rejoice in him. For your mind, and how good a time you had during the week. Child of God, if you find yourself slipping and sliding, you see yourself in these clues, heed the words of Jeremiah. Turn, O backsliding children, I'm married unto you. What about you, sinner? You see yourself in any of Peter's actions? Unsaved today, what is your faith and trust in? Yourself? Ah, preacher, I'll be all right on my own. I'll do it my way. I'll go through life my way. I'll make my own decisions. No one will tell me what to do. I'll do every single step myself. I'll make every decision. My life will be my own. And I'll go through life and it's all my own. I don't need the Lord to take care of me. Don't need the Lord to tell me what to do. Oh, don't worry, preacher. I'm not following the devil. I'm just doing my own thing. I'll get on with my own life. Sure, at my funeral you can play Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Everything will be good. Let's have a reality check on that one. Do you go your own way? If you go any way but the Lord's way, you're going to hell. That's fact. God who said, I am the way. The way. I'm not one of the ways, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Doesn't matter your strength or your intellect. You try and go it alone, you're on the road to hell. Maybe, sinner, today you're enjoying the warmth and the comfort of the world. You're having the time of your life. Money's good, friends are good, crack's good. I just go through, I'm enjoying, I'm having the best of time. You remember the prodigal son? He had all of the joy for a season. He had all of the fun, he had all of the friends, he had all of the money, he had everything he had and everything he wanted, and then it all went and he was rock bottom. He was eating pig food. 1 John 2 and the verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Verse 17 of the same chapter, the world passeth away, the lust thereof. See, sinner, today you can sit and look at the world and think, it's so good. I have everything I want in it. But it's going to go away. The joys, the glitz, and everything else to go with it, all of the friends that are in the world, and all of the crack, and all of the good times, and all of the pleasures, and all of the opportunities that the world gives you, it's only for a season. The world offered Peter a warm fire. Come sit. Warm yourself. It's cold. The fire would have went out. And then where was Peter? Don't look to the world for anything. Rather look to Christ for everything. He's the one who can give you water. You'll never thirst again. He'll give you peace. Passeth all understanding. But all you have to do is come. You can't have it unless you come. You must come. We're going to leave it there today. Next Sunday morning, we're going to come back and look at the rest. Peter's denial. Child of God, as I said, examine yourself today. Any of those clues that are found in your life, you need rid of them. You need to confess them to the Lord. He'll cleanse you. Sinner, you need to turn. You need to turn from your sin. You need to come to the cross. Have your sins washed in that fountain of blood that covers every spot.